Good morning to all of you. Finally, we get to the heart of this part of Genesis. So if you'll find Genesis chapter 39, we'll be ready to start. Let me start with an observation. There are very few dreams that are mentioned in Scripture. There's six in Matthew, and there's about six in the Old Testament. Joseph has had two of those. And in what we're about to hit, there come four more. There aren't many of these. And they're concentrated. Another Joseph in Matthew had a dream. And so we're talking a little bit about something that is rare in here. Let's review. What were Joseph's dreams? This is back in chapter 36 or 37. What were Joseph's dreams? He had two of them. You remember those two? I dreamed, he said to his brothers, that I was out in the fields. And we were cutting down grain. And my sheaves, the ones I was cutting, all of a sudden stood up and gathered themselves into one place. And yours all stood up, gathered themselves in one place, and then bowed to mine. There were 11 sheaves all bowing to mine. Isn't that an interesting dream? He asked his brothers. Shortly after, he had another dream. What was that dream? He dreamed he saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars. Now, how does a star bow down? I don't know, but all of those, the sun and the moon both, bowed down to him. No longer something representing him. Isn't that an interesting story? His father didn't think much of that story, but it does say he pondered it in his heart, almost the same words as Mary used after a visitation in the New Testament. The outcome of that was Joseph ended up in Egypt, sold as a slave, and he ended up in whose house? I'm sorry, whose house?
Okay.
I don't know that I'm going to make anything out of this, but I'm sure as heck going to put it in front of you. P-O-T-I-P-H-A-R. Is that right? Is that spelled more or less correctly? He ends up in Potiphar's house. And what happens in Potiphar's house? Chapter 39, verse 2. I'm giving you the place. All you have to do is read the answer and just. God was with him, and everything he did was successful. God was with him, and because God was with him, things he did prospered him. What did Potiphar do? Number one, he recognized that God, I'm reviewing a little bit now. This was actually astounding. Here's an Egyptian, looks at this and interprets it correctly. God is with him. Not the gods are with him. God is with him. Not this Egyptian god or that Egyptian god or some other Egyptian god, but God is with him. And he figures, this sounds like a good plan, and he puts Joseph in charge of everything. Everything. Now, we left off last time at 39:20. And I want us to read 39:21. It's a very short verse. It does not have deep theological significance, but it has pivotal importance. This is a transition. I don't think that's verse 21. Is it verse 21? Oh, I'm sorry then. I need the last sentence of verse 22, verse 20.
But while Joseph was there in prison.
Mine has a period, and it says, and there in jail he stayed. Does yours have some kind of punctuation, a comma or something? Okay, that's the phrase I'm looking for. So it's the end of verse 20. Thank you for helping me find it. And there in jail he stayed. Who's in charge of the jail? Be careful. Who's in charge of the jail? The chief jailer. We don't know that that's Potiphar. What do we know? And let me comment. Many of the comment. Did you notice I'm commenting? The commentators don't comment on this. I'm commenting that the commentators don't comment on this very much. When he moves into the jail, he is still in Potiphar's house. But he's down, not in the basement. It turns out Scripture uses the right word for it. If you come down to chapter 40, verse 15, in my translation, it's the last word in verse 15. He describes where he is. Mine uses the word dungeon. That's a little harsher than jail, and it's very different from basement. So when I've been saying basement, I'm sort of playing with you a little bit, but the truth is much sterner, much grimmer. He's been thrown into the dungeon. Okay? There is a jailer there. I think there's every reason to think this is not Potiphar, because if Potiphar is in charge of Pharaoh's guards, or Pharaoh's immediate guard, if he's the chief bodyguard, so to speak, he has duties with Pharaoh that would not let him do this. So I think this is a different person. What does the chief jailer figure out? What does God do with him? This is verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph. It's almost a repeat of this before. He showed him, my translation says, faithful love. What does your translation say right there?
Kindness.
Favor. Kindness. This is verse 21. The Lord was with. Mine says him, I think, was with Joseph. He, that is God, showed him, that is Joseph, faithful love. That's my translation.
Mercy.
Mercy, that's what yours said?
Blessing.
Lark, sorry?
Blessing.
He blessed him. Okay. Does your translation say showed him? Showed him extended to him. Okay, that's hard to fit with blessed him. So blessed him means that somebody's rethinking that. It's a parallel equivalent, but it takes away that showed him. Okay. I need to tell you that the word that's used here with Hebrew letters transliterated or translated into English letters, that word is hesed, and it's one of the big three. You go through the whole of the Old Testament, you want to understand God's goodness as the Old Testament reveals it. That's one of the three words you're going to have to grab onto and really hold to. God is showing him godly love. The Greek equivalent, when you come to the New Testament, what's the Greek equivalent? Agape. It may not be perfectly the same word, but it's sure parallel to that idea. Okay? The Lord was with Joseph. He showed him faithful love, and mine has an and there. Does yours have an and there? What does it say after that? Gave him favor in the made him popular with the chief jailer, mine says. Made him popular with the chief jailer. Uh-huh. Now, what does the chief jailer do? Exactly what Potiphar did. What does he do? Puts him in charge of everything that's there. Now, the commentators, I'm commenting, don't comment on this. But I got a feeling that when Potiphar put him on charge of everything in his house, the jail was in his house, I think, he would have already had some responsibility. The jailer, I think, would have known him. And the Bible is often silent on connections. It's almost as if God is saying, okay, I'm giving you all the information. You just got to think about it a minute and figure these things out. I don't know why Scripture does that. But I think in this particular case, Joseph was not unknown to the chief jailer.
Would the jailer have reported to Joseph if Joseph was in charge of Potiphar's house?
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. Uh-huh. My suspicion is the chief jailer already knew something about Joseph, and that this was not something that God had to struggle with. Okay, you know, he's been in charge of the whole thing. I'll sure leave him in charge of this down here. Now, how old was he at this point? Starts with W. We don't know. But it's between what and what? Between what and what? Between 17 and 28. It's not 17 and 30. It's 17 and 28. And if you've read, you've all read all the way to the end of Genesis, right? I can do this, right? You've read these things. I can trust it. Okay. There is a parallel between what Potiphar did and what the jailer did. Joseph is in, he's not just in jail. He's in a dungeon. And now the chief jailer puts him in charge. The chief jailer, verse 23, did not bother about anything put in his charge, since the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord made everything Joseph undertook successful. Chief jailer, verse 22, put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners in the jail, making him responsible for everything done there. Now, let's pause for just a minute. He's in jail. What does it look like? What does it look like in jail?
Doesn't look like upstairs.
Is it light and airy? Is it a happy place with singing and music?
You know, before you get into it, I had a commentator in my Bible, and some one of my notes also say that when Potiphar put Joseph in jail, he put him in that particular one. He could have put him in another one. I mean, there were some much worse, far worse places that he could have put him in jail. So it kind of sounds to me
that's
like,
an interesting commentary.
Yeah, it sounds to me like Potiphar's still taking care of Joseph in some way. I mean, he still got him. He's a different person.
Somebody said it last week. I think it was said in both hours, but maybe it wasn't. Let's make sure that it was said. What was the purpose of putting somebody in that jail? No. To hold them until they could be executed. Jails were not... Jail sentences, I don't think, were anything that these people would have known about. You go into jail, it's a matter of holding you for execution. There was, the first day we talked about this, and we said, what does the Bible say that was the title for Potiphar? Mine says the commander of the guard. Many of you, it was the captain of the guard. But somebody over here, and it may have been you, said chief executioner. Remember that? That's one translation, says chief executioner. The fact that he wasn't executed is a pretty strong signal. That was said maybe in the second hour last week, and I think it's important to say it in here. It's a variation on what you're saying. Potiphar did not treat him as harshly as he could have treated him. Everybody still okay? Yes? No? Psalm 105. I have my hand carefully placed where Genesis 39 and 40 is, so I will not lose track of that and be able to get back to it quickly, but I have turned to Psalm 105. My translation says, at the tail end of verse of chapter 104 of Psalm 104, the tail end of verse 35, it says, bless the Lord, my soul. And the next words I see are Psalm 105. And the next words I see are not in Scripture. They are a title added by the translator, The Wonderful History of Israel. Does yours have a subtitle? Okay.
Calling the Lord's provision before his
people. If you walk through this, it gives you a history of the people of Israel. If you're going to have a history of the people of Israel, with whom does it start other than God? It starts with Abraham. So, down around verse 6, you'll see Abraham. And in the second half of that verse, you'll see Jacob. Skipping over Isaac. Picks up Isaac, the tail end of verse 9, but mentions Abraham again. Goes to Jacob in verse 10. And gives Jacob's other name Israel in that verse. Verse 14. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he instructed kings, do not touch my anointed ones. To my prophets, you may do no harm. What's that talking about? What incident is that recalling? Any of you know?
In the New Testament, had Peter being protected.
Oh, yeah, but this is the history of Israel, and this is in the Old Testament.
Okay.
So you can't go forward, you got to go back.
Okay,
anybody?
Joseph.
Abraham went to Egypt. She's my sister, Abraham said. And apparently he had practiced this for a while. And the king of Egypt, what would be the title?
Pharaoh.
Don't know that he uses that title, but that would have been enough. He took Sarah into his harem. And what happened? Very, very interesting. Plagues happened. Bad things happened. In the process of which he found out, interestingly, doesn't seem to be through Abraham, that this was Abraham's wife. And somehow the message got across to him, you don't harm, you don't touch my servant. Now, did anybody just notice what I did? I've connected a little history. There's history in Egypt. Abraham was there. How far before? About 200 years. And when Abraham had come in, what came along with him? Plagues and a message from the God, don't touch my prophets. Leave these people alone. I'm still in Psalm 105. Are you in Psalm 105? Okay. I just finished verse 15. Let's look at verse 16. He called down famine on the land. He took away their food supply. He sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, sold as a slave. Huh. That's where we are, right? We're about to get there, right? You've looked ahead through the rest of Genesis. You know the arc of the story, right? You know where this is going. Verse 18. What happened to Joseph? What are fetters? Chains and shackles. Mine says his feet were weighted down with shackles. His neck was put in irons. But in due time, his prophecy was fulfilled, and the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent orders to release him. The ruler of nations set him free. He put him in charge of his household, the ruler of all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he saw fit, to teach his counselors wisdom. And then Israel migrated to Egypt, and Jacob settled in the country of Ham. There's a nice little condensation of what we're about to spend several weeks doing. You got the picture? He's probably got shackles on his feet, maybe on his ankles, and maybe on his neck. They probably came on when he was with the Midianites in that caravan. They probably came off when he was in Potiphar's house. They're probably back on now. And I'm paying special attention in my mind to the collar on his neck. I don't know if this is right. I'm sort of looking between the lines, but I think this is consistent. So here he is, he's in jail, but he's in charge in the jail. And we come to chapter 40. What happens in chapter 40? Two new residents of the home. The jail gets two more inmates. Who are the two inmates?
The chief cupbearer and the chief baker to whom? To Pharaoh.
What would the chief baker have done?
Poisoned his food, maybe.
What foods do you bake?
Leftovers.
I am not a cook. I need some expertise here. Probably breads, pastries, donuts. Bear claws. Fritters. Yeah. Pies, cakes, and things like that. I get the impression this is the dessert chef. Okay. Chief cup bearer. Who's this? Is this the sommelier? No. No. Taste the wine before Pharaoh. You're getting closer. Tastes it for what purpose? This is the guy who dies as the evidence that Pharaoh better not drink, or lives as the evidence that it's okay for Pharaoh to drink. What other Bible character was a cupbearer to a king? Nehemiah. What does it mean when it says chief baker? There's probably more bakers. You think one person could bake all the things Pharaoh might need for all the parties and banquets and feasts and food that he might need? Probably not. This is the guy who's in charge. Chief cupbearer, what does that suggest to you? There might be other subordinate cupbearers, but this is the main guy. This is the main guy. They have both displeased Pharaoh, and they're both in jail. I'm sorry, can we review for a minute? What's the purpose of being thrown in jail? To await execution. To await execution. This is serious stuff. These guys come into the jail. The chief cupbearer, where would his place have been? In the room with Pharaoh in case Pharaoh got thirsty. Chances are the chief cupbearer also ate the food before Pharaoh ate it. What did they do to merit Pharaoh's displeasure? Starts with W. I don't know. But whatever they did, there they are, and Pharaoh must have thought it serious enough that there he went. A commentator commented at this moment, aren't you glad you live in Britain? Well, okay, the commenter was in Britain. Aren't you glad you live in Britain where a king can no longer do that since the Magna Carta was written? The king can't summarily say off with their heads and have that obeyed. There is process in the legal system. There is here power. Raw, unbridled, brutal power, and they have run afoul of it, and here they sit. It happened sometime later, that's the way chapter 40 opens in my translation, that the king of Egypt, for once they don't say Pharaoh in my translation, maybe they don't in yours either. The king of Egypt's cupbearer, I would have said the cupbearer of the king of Egypt, and his baker offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the commander of the guard in the jail where Joseph was a prisoner. The commander of the guard assigned Joseph to them to attend to their wants, and they remained in custody for some time. It sounds like Potiphar, I think this is still Potiphar, has come down and has told the chief jailer, this is what you're going to do with these two. Verse 5, they both had dreams on the same night. What were their dreams? Can we do it quickly? Yes or no? Can we do it quickly?
No.
They give the cupbearer first, then they give the baker. What does the cupbearer dream? I see a vine. And on the vine? Three branches. And on the branches? Not yet. Not yet. Buds. Buds. Then? Then? And I took the grapes and I squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and I gave Pharaoh the cup. Now, would you take grapes and squeeze them and immediately? Whatever the dream is doing, it's compressing a process in this. Dreams can do that. That's allowed. Right? We each had a dream, verse 8 says. Verse 6, when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they looked gloomy, and he asked the two officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why these sad looks today? And they replied, we've each had a dream, but there's no one to interpret it. What does Joseph say at that moment? The interpretation of dreams is God's business. Tell them to me. How do you fit those two sentences together? The interpretation of dreams is God's business. Tell them to me.
Joseph knew God was with him.
Chances are Potiphar certainly knew God was with him. The chief jailer likely had figured this out. Maybe the other prisoners, enough time, sometime later, it says. They remained in custody for some time. Sometime later, these two came in, and then after some time, this night came where they both had the dreams the same night. So, maybe it wasn't quite so odd as it would have possibly sounded. Tell me the dreams. So the chief cupbearer tells him his dream. And Joseph replies, verse 12, this is what it means. How long did it take Joseph to say this is what it means after the chief cupbearer got through with telling his dream?
We don't know,
but how long do we think it was? Not long. Hold that thought. You may not need it today, but you will need it someday. This is what the dream means, Joseph told him. The three branches are 3 days. In another 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head by restoring you to your position. Then you will hand Pharaoh his cup as you did before when you were his cupbearer. But be sure to remember me when things go well with you. There is an echo that goes all the way into another book of the Bible. There is an echo of this that goes all the way into another book of the Bible. A new king came up who did not remember Joseph. And the children of Israel went into slavery. And years later, there was another group who didn't remember Moses. And the children of Israel fell into problems. Remember me when things go well with you, and keep faith with me by kindly reminding Pharaoh about me to get me out of this house. I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews in the first place, and even here I have done nothing to warrant being put in this dungeon. There's your first clue about dungeon. Yeah, Ben. Thank you. That same phrase was what the thief said to Jesus when they were both on the cross. Remember me. Remember me. Okay? Lift up your head. Did you notice that phrase? Is that an accurate, at least rough wording of what's in yours? If you've got that collar on your neck, how heavy is it and what does it probably make you do? Your head is probably slumped. Take the thing off and your head is lifted up. Interesting phrase he uses there. He will lift up your head. Okay? Yeah. How does the cupbearer feel right now? Starts with T. Terrific. Starts with W. Wonderful. Okay? He feels great. How does the baker feel? Starts with H. Hopeful. Hopeful. The chief baker, seeing that the interpretation had been favorable, said to Joseph, I too had a dream. There were three wicker trays on my head. In the top tray, there were all kinds of pastries, donuts, bear claws, chocolate eclairs. Such as a baker might make. And the birds were eating them off of the tray on my head. Joseph replied as follows. This is what it means. The three trays are 3 days. In another 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head. Mine simply says lift up. By putting you on a gallows. Now there's other translations that suggest not hanging but beheading. He will lift your head off your body and put it on a tray. He will lift up your head, mine says, by hanging you on a gallows, and the birds will eat the flesh off your... Oh my goodness. How does the baker feel? Not so good. How does the cupbearer feel? Now that's an interesting question. How does the cupbearer feel? Starts with W. We don't know. There's a good chance the cupbearer says, too bad for him. And there's a chance that these guys are friends, both in the service of a king who at the flick of a thought can have them both thrown in jail, threatened with execution. And he might feel sympathy. We simply don't know. But 3 days later was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a great banquet. And at that banquet, he brought the cupbearer back, and he had the baker executed. Verse 23. Horrible, horrible verse 23. What does it say? But the cupbearer did not remember Joseph. If yours says forget, that is an accurate and useful translation, but I like the parallelism. Please remember me when things go well. But he did not remember him. That appears to be the case. Did everybody hear that? It's as if he never gave Joseph another thought. 2 years later, that's verse 1 of chapter 41. Is that right?
Yes.
2 years later, when this chapter is over, Joseph is in Pharaoh's service in a very different way, and it says he's 30 years old. So all these other things happened between the time he was 17, which is when he was sold into slavery, and I said 28 so that I could subtract 2 years from 30, because there's 2 years that go by. Everybody see it? How many dreams have we had so far? In about 3 chapters, 4 chapters, we've had 4 dreams. 2 for Joseph, 2 for the chief baker and the chief cupbearer, and now 2 for Pharaoh on the same night. What are his dreams? What are his dreams? Cows and corn. Cows and corns. I've got to jump down here because I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah, there we go. Cows and corn. How many cows? 14. How many ears of corn, I think it was? 14. Okay. 14 cows. 14 ears of corn. 7 of those cows were, 2 words, with the word animal, fat and sleek. They are so fat, it's like Botox. Everything just smoothed out. Right? Fat and sleek. What does yours say for those 2 words?
Healthy.
Fat and sleek. Sleek and fat. Fat and sleek. How about the other 2? The other 7 cows, excuse me. Ugly and gaunt. Mine says wretched and lean. Wretched and lean. What did the wretched and lean... The sleek and fat cows came up out of the Nile in front of Pharaoh, and they started eating among the rushes. And then these wretched and lean, what did yours say? Gaunt and thin? Ugly and gaunt. They come up, what do?
They
ate the sleek and fat cows. You have a skinny, wretched, gaunt, thin cow eat a fat, sleek cow. What should the thin and wretched cow now look like? Should be fat and sleek. Is it? Well, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. Because Pharaoh hasn't told us yet all of the dream. All we know is Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep and dreamed a second time. That's pretty good. I have trouble going back to sleep after one of these things. He dreamed a second time, and there growing on one stalk were 7 ears of grain. Mine is so bold as not to mention corn, because corn may have come from the New World and may not have existed, so we just call it grain.
This says 7 heads.
7 heads of grain, yours says? All right. Mine says 7 ears of grain. And what are the words to describe the ears of grain? Large? Louder again? Plump?
Uh-huh.
plump and good. Mine says full and ripe.
Well formed.
Okay. And then sprouting up behind them came seven ears of grain. Meager, mine says. Thin, yours says. And scorched by the east wind. Did you hear the prayer this morning? Did you hear the prayer for rain for the crops? Water for the crops? Good prayer. It's hard to watch your crops dry up and shrivel. Scorched by the east wind. This is probably your first clue as to what's coming. The scanty, that's my translation, ears of grain, swallowed the seven full and ripe ears of grain. How do they do that? It's a dream. Don't worry about it. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning he calls together, feeling disturbed, it says, he calls together all of his magicians and wise men, and he says to them, I've got a dream. I've had two dreams last night. They've disturbed me. Tell me what the dreams mean. And the wise men and magicians say, we don't have a clue. One of the comments that I'll make is that the commentators commented on this, and they said, this one wasn't all that hard to interpret. It's almost as if God has sent the dreams, and that God has sent a little bit of confusion on the magicians. A little bit of confusion on the wise men. Were they just not permitted to see this?
Maybe they were afraid to tell the truth.
Maybe they're afraid to tell the truth. Maybe they're afraid, if I stick my neck out and offer an interpretation, I might end up like the chief cupbearer, the chief baker, back in that jail threatened with execution. Maybe there's safety in numbers. And they all hunkered out. And at that moment, the chief cupbearer remembers Joseph. And the story that ensues, we're going to have to tell quickly because we're almost out of time. Where is Joseph? He's in the dungeon. What does he look like? He has been invited, ordered to appear before Pharaoh. How quickly did they get him there?
Quickly,
but not immediately. He shaved, he took a bath, and he changed his clothes. This might be the first time he changed his clothes since he went in, however many years before. Might be the first time he shaved since he went in.
Note down here says that the Egyptians were normally smooth shaven
So they cleaned him up, and he comes into the Pharaoh's presence. And Pharaoh says, I have heard it. This is verse 15. I have had a dream. There's no one to interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that you can interpret a dream the instant you hear it. Not I, Joseph said to Pharaoh. God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Who is this person standing before Pharaoh? He's Abraham's great-grandson. 200 years before, Abraham had been there. And God had said, think again about Psalm 150, don't touch my prophets. What might have been going through Pharaoh's mind? Scripture is silent here. Scripture is silent here. 200 years ago, who was around? George Washington, Benjamin Franklin. What if George Washington's great-grandson were discovered in a jail in Atlanta? Or a jail in Chicago? Great-grandson. How many generations has it been since Washington? Probably 12, 15. We're talking three generations. This is pretty amazing. Abraham's having a baby at 100 is part of this thing, right? And Isaac having a baby at 70 is part of this thing. There's Jacob coming along. Everybody understand? There's enough here that if Pharaoh knows something about the history, he might be sitting there thinking, is the famine that's predicted punishment for having this guy in my jail? Joseph doesn't seem to be awed by this. He says, God's the one who interprets dreams.
But he then proceeds to say, tell me your dream. Pharaoh tells the dream. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams, how many dreams were there? Two. Are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's going to do. The seven fine cows are 7 years, and the seven ripe ears of grain are 7 years. It's one and the same dream. The seven gaunt and lean cows coming up behind them are 7 years, as are the seven shriveled ears of grain scorched by the east wind. There will be 7 years of famine. 7 years are coming, bringing great plenty to the whole of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow when all the plenty in Egypt will be forgotten and famine will exhaust the land. Verse 28, it is as I have told Pharaoh, God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is going to do. Verse 32, the reason why Pharaoh had the same dream twice is that the event is determined by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Determined by God means this is one God will not alter. Sometimes God says, I plan to do something, but the people change. This is one. Repentance and all that is not going to change anything. This is coming. You've seen the dream twice. That's what it means. Joseph is bold. We're almost out of time, and I have to say this quickly. He doesn't stop with an interpretation of the dream. He gives Pharaoh counsel. What's his counsel? Verse 33, I think it is. Pharaoh should now find someone intelligent and wise to govern Egypt. I'm sorry, who's governing Egypt? Pharaoh. Pharaoh should find someone intelligent and wise to govern Egypt. Who's governing Egypt right now? What's the implication? Thank goodness Pharaoh doesn't pick up on that. Or if he does pick up on that, he's not offended.
But don't you think that Amon has the land of Egypt? Don't you think that's talking about the agriculture?
Maybe. Pharaoh should put supervisors across the country. He should tax the people 1/5. He should have this wise and intelligent person and the sub-people that are put in place gather all that together, store up the food as a reserve against the day when the famine comes. And Pharaoh and all his ministers, verse 38, approved of what he has said. And Pharaoh asked his ministers, can we find anyone else endowed with the Spirit of God like him? Potiphar recognizes something, and now Pharaoh does. Amazing parts of the story. And within the next few verses, Joseph is number two in Egypt. Joseph gets a new name. I'm going to close with this. The new name is down in verse 45. Zaphnath-Paneah. You know what that means? I didn't either. I looked it up. That name means God says he is living. God says he is living. When God appeared to Moses and Moses said, what's your name? What does God say? I am. Joseph's name becomes God says he is living. Very interesting name. He's given a new wife. The wife is the daughter of the priest of On, O-N. And that is a God we have not heard in all the lists that I read to you, Horus and Sapphiris and all the others that we've read about. And what's this priest's name? Potipharah. There's an H and an A at the end of Potiphar. I'm not going to do anything with that. I'm just going to tell you this is fascinating. We pick up here the next time we're together. Thank you for your patience. I've gone a little bit over. Please forgive me. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we're in the most interesting place, trying to see through the mist of time into the sparse words that we see to make sense of this in a story that begins to tell us something about who we are and where we are. Help us understand you are with us and you are, as you have promised, turning everything to the good of those who love you. We pray that you would help us see your hand at work in us, even when times are as tough as they could possibly be. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you.